We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
On this episode of Drinks with Binks on Ice, we are rocking it out at the Stanley Cup Final as I'm currently in Tampa. And to cap off our Women in Hockey series, which should be its own show forever because women are absolutely incredible, I'm thrilled to welcome on living legend, Hockey Hall of Famer, gold medalist, and assistant general manager of the Vancouver Canucks, Cammy Granato. We talk about her role and what a day in the life is like for her, what it's been like being the first woman to blaze so many different trails, how she feels about the Canada-USA rivalry, and what it's like watching husband and friend of the show, ESPN analyst Ray Ferraro, on TV during the Cup Final. We're sipping on tea, getting the tea with Cammy Granato on Drinks with Binks. Drinks with Binks on Ice is presented by Fubo TV. Cut cable and keep more than 100 of your most watched channels with live sports, top shows, and more. All streaming from your favorite devices. Go to FuboTV.com/Binks to save 15% on your first month. Hey guys, welcome on into Drinks with Binks on Ice. I'm Julie Stewart Binks coming to you from Tampa as I am on the road right now covering the Stanley Cup Final. So I'm always in a new situation, destination, which is the beauty of being able to do the show. And we're able to talk with so many different amazing women on Drinks with Binks on Ice. And to sort of come full circle and conclude this series of having incredible women, it was absolutely fitting to have a living legend on the show. I'm so thrilled to be able to get some time to be able to talk with none other than the first woman, along with Angela James, to be inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame, who is assistant general manager for the Vancouver Canucks and won gold with Team USA as a captain of the Olympic women's hockey team in 1998. Cammy Granato, thanks so much for joining us here on the show, and cheers to everything you have accomplished and everything you've done for women in the game.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. Cheers.
All right. We are sipping on some tea, I believe you have. I've got some coffee. You're coming to us from Vancouver.
Yeah.
And you got your new job with the Vancouver Canucks. And just, I mean, what an incredible, first of all, job to get. You're with Seattle before. What's it been like just joining the Canucks organization?
It's been fantastic. I mean, it's just been really, really exciting. Lot of things to dig into. It's just a position that I was, you know, in my backyard. I've lived here for 20 years now, and then having it be down the street, I'm familiar with the Canucks. I scouted the Canucks with my job with Seattle, so that was a nice way to have a transition to know the players at least and their tendencies, and then just getting to know everybody in the management team and the whole operations of the Vancouver Canucks has been really, really great. A lot of challenges ahead, but really exciting ones.
Yeah. So how does that work? As you mentioned, you're with Seattle, you were working as a scout for Seattle, and then you go to Vancouver. What is like the day in the life of like an assistant general manager?
Well, what I realized is when you're in a management position that you really do touch all facets of the organization. And there's just so many different things that come across your desk in a day. And it could be having a pre-draft meeting to talk about drafted players or meeting with the GM on certain things that are coming up for maybe free agency. There's just negotiating contracts for people that are coming on board, supporting our pro scouts in certain things. It's just, and then talking to the, like getting on a Zoom to talk to our player development guys, planning our development camp. Like, I mean, there's a number of things that go on in a day that I kind of marvel at, actually. I didn't think as deeply like about how many different things until I got there and realized there's a lot to cover. But it's exciting stuff. Mm-hmm. And we have a great group of people there. I think what I was important to me coming in was to know that the people around me it was a support system. It was an open communication. It was a collaboration. And that's exactly how the vision has been laid out. And it's very apparent to me being here the months that I've been that's the truth.
You're on the management side, but so much of your family is on the coaching side or the media side, yeah. As we've had friend of the show, Ray Ferraro, your husband, on Drinks and Things. What made you want to go into hockey ops and kind of do the scouting and general managing route?
You know, I mean, coaching for me is definitely something that always interested me. It was just a different commitment. I think me coming out of my career and then even thinking I would maybe coach even on the women's side or even coach on the men's side. And I did a little bit of that with my brothers when we coached Madison Capitals junior team. I helped out and coached there, got some experience, and have coached a little bit with the U.S. Program for some PWHPA events. But I think the commitment's a lot different. And for me raising my kids, I think when I got done with hockey, there was so much time put into hockey and not the balance. And then I had my kids and I was like, I need to step back here. And then coaching was never, I got opportunities to even just coach in different smaller roles. And it was just, it took so much more time away.
When you look at it, we don't have any female head coaches, of course, in the NHL. Yeah. When do you think we will see a female head coach in the NHL?
You know, I don't know the timeline, but I think at one point it will happen. I don't know when that's going to be. I know if what we need right now is to get women in male sports, more women in coaching men's hockey at any level, whether it's junior, collegiate, AHL, ECHL, NHL. I mean, there's qualified coaches. It's not a gender thing. There's coaches that are coaching in the NHL that didn't play and have a regular career in the NHL. So it's not like you have to be an NHL player to be a coach. So I think if more women can think about like applying for roles in men's hockey at all those levels, then they can move their way up just like the men do in their roles in the lower leagues, and not that they're lower leagues, but in other leagues, to then jump to the NHL. But I think you'll see an assistant coach sooner than we think. I think a team will take one of these experienced coaches and give them an opportunity. I think that will happen in the near future.
The NHL is ready to do that, like, because there's it has to almost like have two people to like, or two sides to be able to make that happen. Do you think the NHL and like the people involved, and especially coming from your side, are ready to break that barrier in having a woman on the bench?
I think so, but I mean there's so many biases that people don't even know they have, where they just look past. Or they actually look at a woman and think, you cannot possibly know more than a man. Mm. Like, just straight up, that's their comparison. A man and a woman, you could possibly. But I do think a respected woman in the field who's proven herself is capable. And it's not about, again, it's not about gender. And I think those biases are going to take longer to go away. But it's changing, and it's changing quickly. So we've seen that in other sports, and we've seen women coaches in other sports who are doing really well on the men's side. And I think it's definitely going to happen. It's just a matter of when. And I think the biggest thing is getting women to apply for the men's jobs in any league, and then just move their way up, or an established coach can start as an assistant, right?
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
From the beginning of your playing career to now and having to break through the glass ceiling to get to where you are right now, do you see yourself being a general manager in the NHL?
You know what? Honestly, this is a true, honest question. I want to be where my feet are right now. I have no, like, I'm not even thinking that way. I'm so grateful for my opportunity. I'm learning from amazing hockey minds. I'm in a position where there's been trust put in my experiences there that they're respecting. And I think it's just a great place for me to be right now. And I'm not even thinking for a second is my head going, that's where I want to go. I'm completely honest about that. I want to be really good in this role. I'm enjoying this role. I'm right where I want to be. Mm-hmm. I think coming from someone who has been in a position all their life to defend themselves in the sport, to get here is really incredible. Because I didn't think I would see it in my time. I just didn't. Because for so long and for so many years, from the time I was 3 years old, going to Blackhawk games and in the game of hockey and playing with boys until I was 18 and trying to prove myself every time I walked into the rink or I got on the ice and then trying to break the ceiling as a woman in this women's sports side. And it's just, you know, I feel like this opportunity, I'm grateful for, because there's been a lot of times where we were held back because of our gender. And I had a joke with my brothers at one point. I'm like, man, if we should win the lottery so we could buy an NHL team, we could all work for it. Like, cause we all had these hockey minds and we loved the game so much and we lived and breathed it. And it was like, my thought was that's the only way I would ever be able to work for a club because they don't hire women. And that was just for so many years, that was the way. And then all of a sudden in the last 4 or 5 years, the pendulum started to swing. And then just even in the last couple of years, there's just been this whole, I guess, view about there's, you know, equality is important. Representation is important. And you know what, there's the diversity in that and the drawing from different parts of your experiences with different people, it only betters your organization. And I think that's where I'm happy we're at. And so I think there'll be more and more opportunities for women in sport.
Wow.
That was incredible.
That was a fantastic answer to a really bad question that I asked, but you have had to go through all these different things. And the story about the lottery, like, breaks my heart. Like, that as a woman that you had to, that was how you felt, right? Like, as the first of all these things, you had to go through all of these really difficult times to get to where you are right now, just not seeing someone in that position where you are. Like, what was that like? Because we look at the firsts and we talk about the first, but like, what's it like to be the first in all these situations?
Well, I mean, I think at this point, I'm a little bit used to the idea of being the first, because we were sort of like, when in 1998, everyone talked about us as the pioneers. And I don't think we understood that, because we were just so excited that we were getting opportunity and we were playing. We didn't really get that term. And then as we got a little bit older, we realized, wow, we were the first to do this, you know, at the Olympic level. That we thought the people before us were more the pioneers, and they were, because those, you know, and those players never got a chance to get the, you know, to a place that we did with the Olympics and have that opportunity with the national team and see where it is now. But we got used to it. And I think for me, sometimes it was exhausting. I got to say, like, I think proving yourself every time you go to a new place was just like, okay, here we go again. And here we go again. And, but it was never like that for me on the ice. It was more about the stuff around it, the noise around it, the people that were disagreeing around it, the people that were trying to threaten you, or, you know, coaches not wanting to play against your boys team because you were a girl, or a guy, you know, hitting you and giving you a concussion when you're not even, don't even have the puck because they're targeting you. Those kind of things.
Wow.
Were tough, but I had an amazing team. It was more the noise outside of the rink that I didn't like those 10 minutes before the game when I'd walk to the locker room, or I'd walk to the bathroom and then to the locker room when the guys were dressed. But I, on the ice, I never felt like I didn't belong. Never. I never identified me as a woman playing a man's sport. I identified myself as a hockey player, and it just didn't matter what everyone thought. And I don't know where that sort of mindset came, but there was a sense for me that I belonged. And maybe because I had brothers and we all were just in this together that played. But that part never wavered. Not one person could make me quit. And so I faced a lot of those people that didn't want me to play, but it really, to be honest, I just blocked it out. It was like, whatever. Like I don't know where that attitude came from. I think it's because I just had such a love for the sport and I knew it was what I wanted to do.
You are an American legend living in Canada though. So,
yeah.
You know, there's a little Canada America rivalry, of course, on right. and off the ice, but your husband Ray Ferraro was on the show. He's Canadian. AJ Mlesko, your teammate, was on the show. She's American, and she does not like Canada.
I know.
She hates Canada.
I know.
Like, do you feel that same kind of like rivalry hatred toward Canada that AJ does?
Here's the thing. I look at it a little differently as far as, you know, the rivalry was the rivalry with hockey. Like, it was on the ice and we did not like each other. I mean, there was a hatred. Like, we were standing in the way of each other's success
right.
every tournament. So there was a real, and it's still there. The rivalry is very real and it's very, you know, bitter at times. I found there's a respect off the ice. I have a respect for the players I've played against and that I've become friends with off the ice as advocates for the game, with Cassie Campbell's and Jaina Heffords and mm-hmm. Vicky Sunahara. And I could go on and on, but there's players that we played against that we fiercely hated on the ice. But when, for me, off the ice, we're all in this together. And that's, I think it's shown a little bit more with the WHPA stuff where the girls on both sides have come together as one. But, you know, living in Canada, I will say, coming over the border when we won the gold in 1998, I was not liked very much. And here, nobody could care less. They're like, you're U.S. boo. Like, you know, just, I had no merit. I had zero merit here.
Yeah.
And it was fine. But I think when Canada, when we lost then in 2002, and they won, it was kind of like, okay, well, now you're welcome. You're fine because we're just happy we got our gold, right? So each year it gets better. The hardest one was my kids wore Canadian jerseys to the World Junior because they're Ooh. Canadian kids and they have pride, right? And then when they played against my brother Don, who was coaching, then they were cheering for the U.S. But it was like, if it wasn't family, they were for their home country, which I, you know,
very much. So.
Yeah.
You have so many connections like with the game and Canada, USA, all different teams. And with your husband, as you mentioned, Ray Ferraro, between the benches with ESPN during the Stanley Cup final. And he was telling us, so, you know, with you working with the Kraken last year and when it was COVID, like you're both at home, you can't show your computer, like it was very separate. But what is it like watching him broadcast the game? And do you ever text him being like, no, that's the wrong thing you just said on TV. This is what happened.
I refrain from that in bigger games because he doesn't make a lot of mistakes. I will say he's really good at what he does. But I might comment on something funny back to him, like in certain games, but in the playoffs, like I haven't bugged him because he's like a master at being able to text like in the middle, not in the middle of the play per se, but like the shortest little break. He's like, boop. He's texting. And then there was a time I could see him with this phone in his hand, like texting me when the play went by. But this is like, you know, like a 5-0 game in the middle of the season or something, but the playoffs, he's really dialed in, and it's been great to watch him and do his thing. And he's now working with the new network with ESPN. So there's a whole new market that's starting to get to know him, where the Canadian market knew him before. Mm-hmm. And so he's really enjoying that. And we have lots of great debates. And yeah, I definitely had to shut my computer a few times when he was home because I just didn't want to give him too much top secret information from our end in Seattle, because I just didn't want to give him that responsibility of like holding it in when he knows so many broadcasters and insiders. And I just kind of leave it at that. And then he's good with that boundary. So, but we love talking hockey, and now even more so that I have this job and talk about players and what we're seeing. And it's been great, but I'm really proud of his work that he's been doing in the playoffs. It's been really fun to watch him, even though I haven't seen him in 2 months.
Yeah. You see him like as much as we all do, which is on TV, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, he said that you influenced him a lot in how he saw the game. So he has playing experience. You also have very many different experiences within the game. Mm-hmm. So I loved hearing that he was influenced by you and how you saw the game. And so there's so many things I want to talk to you about, Cammy, but we don't have a whole lot of time. And I want to talk to you about your book that you sure. just released, a children's book.
Yeah.
I Can Play Too. So what inspired you to write this book? And tell us a little bit more sure. about it.
So I got the idea of writing the book when I was reading to my kids when they were little. My kids, our two youngest are 15 and 12. So when they were babies, I read every single night to them. And we had every sports book possible because that's the ones that they really gravitated to and they wanted to read over and over. And I realized there wasn't any representation of women as a character in sport. There wasn't books that had that at the time. It's like, I should write a kid's book. I could use the story of sort of how I grew up and how it, you know, kind of based on my story as the only girl in a league until I was 18. Right. And so finally I kind of kept putting it off. It was just more of a thought. And a friend of mine just said, why don't you just write it? Like, just write it. And so, I ended up going for it. And I was amazed that I could do it. There's one thing for it to be a concept and then have for it to actually turn into a book is another. So it was a really cool mm-hmm. journey. A lot of great stuff I learned on the way. I wrote it. I got my nephew, Dominic, who's a really good drawer, but never illustrated. He's been drawing since he's been little, and he did all the illustrations. So it was a family thing. And we launched it in February, kind of more of a soft launch because I got my job right after with the Canucks. So we'll be doing more as well, but it's gone really well. And it's called I Can Play Too. It's about a little girl that wanted to play hockey, but her mom thought, well, if you want to skate, you put you in figure skating like every other girl in the town because no girls played in her town. So it's just a fun story. And then the kids, it's been well received. I think the kids like it. So I'm excited about it.
Subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube page for clips and full episodes. Follow us at Fubo Sports on all social media channels, also available in podcast form wherever you find your favorite pods.
Cheers to you, Cammy. Thank you so much for drinking and banking with us here today.
Yeah, thank you.
Can you tell us where, we know that you're obviously very hard at work with the Vancouver Canucks, but you also have a grant.
I work with FlipGive on a grant program for girls up to, I think, 12 years old we did this year. We gave out 100 grants in North America to all the girls across North America that played hockey that applied for it on flipgive.com. And we'll have another one this fall. We had a lot of NHL teams interested that have funded it and supported it in their regions to give extra grants for the girls. And it's been a really great experience for me to do that because the stories that these kids have about, you know, who they are as people or players, what kind of adversity they've had to deal with at home or on the ice, maybe there's some financial adversity, anything like that, that's what the grant program gives to. And then I have a Zoom with all the girls and just to see their faces and see how just how excited they are, it's incredible. It's very, very rewarding.
Wow, Cammy, you are an incredible person on and off the ice. Thank you so much for joining us here today. And good luck with everything with the Vancouver Canucks. And thank you just so much for everything that you've done for women in hockey and just being such an incredible role model. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you here on the show. So thank you so much. And good luck.
Cheers. Thanks.
Cheers. Yeah. And everyone else out there, you guys know where to find us. On Fubo Sports YouTube, all of our clips and episodes, as well as on Twitter and Instagram. And until next time, bottoms up, bitches. That felt weird to say this time, but...